thundering out towards Yanks Peak a fair bit. That one was pretty close. Maybe time to get back in the freaking truck before I get struck by lightning again.
Well, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, Frankie's got the weather we got. Wait a minute. Well, whether it's cold, whether it's hot,
the meteorological report.
Frankie's got the weather, whether or not.
And welcome to the Meteorological Report. Yes, the Meteorological Report. What is meteorology? Well, it's a thing that I invented. I invented it. It's the study of comedy and weather, because the weather is funny business. This is your place to come on and talk about and complain about Canada's awful weather, because we have a lot of that. In fact, we have a lot of that right now. It's been especially awful lately. I'm Joey Olney, your host. I'm also the administrator of a group called Interior Weather and Wilderness Watchers, and I like to say in that group that bad weather is good for our business, and it's been the case. We've had about 3,000 new members join the group in BC here this last week and some, so that tells you that people are obviously nervous about the consistent thunderstorm threat and persistent threats. But before I get talking all about that, I gotta shout over to our wingman first. He's Frankie McDonald, the world famous weatherman in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Frankie, how are you doing this week, and how is all the weather in Sydney, Nova Scotia? Talk to us about the Hurricane Elsa.
I'm doing great so far. It's heading for New Brunswick, Canada, plus, and it's going to hit New Brunswick. It's going to hit Maine, Virginia, Massachusetts, New York, and Maryland, and all these places, and Carolinas, all across eastern United States, western United States. It's all hot there. Death Valley's going to get hotter and hotter, and it's going to get really, really hot, causing a lot of fires in British Columbia and Siberia, and road of bones and coal in the highway, going from Yaktus to Magadan and Omiakon. All those remote communities in Siberia, they're causing a lot of fires because it's so hot. And guess what? Greta Thunberg was up in it, above the Arctic Circle in Norway. She was doing hiking there. It was so hot there. It's around 35 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, they were as hot as Miami, Florida.
And guess what? Yeah. I got my second dose of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine yesterday.
I got mine on Tuesday, Frankie. I'm modernized.
Oh, way to go, Joey.
Hi there. How are you today?
I'm terrific. If I was any better, I'd need two of me to share the joy.
Really? Holy.
No.
Second dose?
Yep.
Any reaction to the first?
Was AstraZeneca? Not really, no.
No?
A little bit of pain in my arm.
Okay.
That's why maybe if they could give me this one in the butt, I'd be really happy.
Okay, you asked them for that, right? You feel ill today?
No, just in the head.
Yeah, it was great the day after I got my AstraZeneca. It's like all in the news. I'd rather have it like in my butt cheek so I could use both my arms. I'm
so
ambidextrous.
Use both the arms. Yeah, well, we'll stick with the arms. I've actually never done, you don't do butt cheek injections very much. I've actually not done one of those, so.
I'm just kidding. Vaccine stuff. Modernize me, please. Ah! Oh my god!
You feel the microchip.
Oh no. Yeah. I suddenly believe in one world government again.
There we go.
This hot weather is because of HAARP. I know it.
There you go.
Right on. I have to sit right here.
So you actually get to sit in the penalty box.
Penalty box?
Yeah, right over there.
That's not a penalty box.
Well, I just told you that.
Yeah, it was painful, and I spent some of the last few days suffering. So Frankie, tell us about the timeline of Hurricane Elsa.
The timeline of Hurricane Elsa, that disturbance came off the coast of Africa. Disturbance traveled all across from Western Africa, hit Haiti, hit Cuba, brought a lot of rain in Florida, did some damage in Haiti and all these places and tropical islands just east of Cuba.
When's it coming up into the States and when's it coming to Canada?
It's heading for New Brunswick tomorrow night.
What do you think you're going to see there? Are you going to get some of it?
Not that much rain for Sydney, Nova Scotia. A whole lot of rain in Fredericton, Miramichi, and Bathurst.
Right. And that up towards where Monica lives maybe too?
Yeah.
In Bonaventure. Okay, Frankie. Good to see you, man. What have you been doing this week before we go ask around? Talk to us about what podcasts you've been on and what you've been doing.
I was on Base Guy's taking this week and next week off. He'll be back on the 21st. I was on Trey Campbell, Man on Trey podcast on Monday because of Independence Day, and I was on the Roger Wildcard podcast last night. And I did Gary and Dino's show after that And then on Sunday afternoon, I did an interview with Jason Marshall. We don't have cookies. Jason Marshall is the guy. We don't have cookies. Internet radio show.
Frankie McDonald, the one and only in Sydney, Nova Scotia. We have a panel of meteorologists. We also have a special guest tonight, Liz Tui Weiss. She's a art professor
sometime in July. Sometime in the end of this month. Jason Marshall, we don't have cookies. Guy might appear on your podcast one of these days.
Okay. Tell him to come on in. So yes. One of our special guests tonight is Liz Tui Weiss. She's an art professor who's here in Wells doing a residency. I did a video yesterday on my Joey Only Caribou Weather Dude YouTube channel. And we'll be talking to her in a few minutes about her wildfire painting. But first, I need to talk to Brandon Houck. And first, Brandon, give us radio weatherman Brandon Houck from Brooks, Alberta. Tell us all about the last 6-7 days you've had in Alberta. And tell us about the relationship of the storms that are coming to you and BC thunderstorm weather that's been going on.
Yeah, well, basically last time we were on this podcast was the last really nice fair weather day we've had here in Alberta. Since last Friday, we've had severe weather break loose every single day since last week. So I'm going to start off last Friday there. On July 2nd there, we had severe thunderstorms erupt in the Calgary area. And these storms moved into the city of Calgary and produced flash flooding. These were supercells, so they were rotating over the city itself, but nothing did materialize out of the rotation that went over the city of Calgary last week. And we had hail about size of golf balls, and it was pretty wild, especially in the Southwest. A lot of folks lost their gardens, and I think there's some hail down in the Prittis golf course. People were out trying to golf in that, and that wasn't fun, I guess. So the
golf
storm itself, that's right. So the storms moved through Calgary and produced over 60 millimeters of rain in just 1 hour. And that produced flooding issues, and people were driving under overpasses and parking under overpasses. That's the thing we got to mention here, not to park under overpasses in severe weather, because it is probably the most dangerous thing you can do, because when you're driving towards that overpass, you can get obscured by the rain and the hail. You can't see. And if somebody's parked on under the overpass, and they could easily cause an accident. So that's why we try not to do that.
If a tornado was actually happening, it's just a wicked wind tunnel where all kinds of objects are going to be flying through and taking your head off.
That's right. So there's a lot of people doing that on Friday in Calgary. So we kind of had to put the word out and remind everybody not to do that. So that was Friday. And then we had flooding, and like some people were out kayaking on the streets in Calgary last Friday. There was so much rain that fell in just a matter of time. So that was Friday's setup, and those storms mostly stayed in the foothills. I don't think we got those storms in our area. By Saturday, we had another round of thunderstorms develop in the foothills. These supercells were a little bit weaker, but still put on a bit of a show and had some pretty phenomenal structure, at least, on Saturday. And then Sunday's event. Now, Sunday's event, this was our turn here in the Brooks area when we had the first round of severe thunderstorms hit us from the west. And these supercells developed once again on the foothills just south of Calgary and made their beeline through High River and then eventually ended up in Brooks. Some phenomenal structure.
Hopefully I don't choke on popcorn here.
We have something. We have, we're just off to the southwest. We've got Loring right there. That looks like a scud, or it could be a funnel right there. We're keeping an eye on it very closely if it does decide to make contact to the ground. Oh, wow. All right. So it's thinking about doing something here. We are live just to the west of Brooks right now on a supercell that continues to approach the area at this time. We've got another lowering right here. That's mostly scud right there, as you see. But this is a very high precipitated supercell. Lots of lightning and thunder associated with this storm as it continues to move its way into the county. We're watching the south side very closely right now, and we may have had a brief funnel cloud just out of this wall cloud right here, and it's thinking about lowering something right now. Let's see what this is. That's definitely scud, but it is definitely rotating. We got some rotation on here. I am definitely noticing, big bolt of lightning right there. Wow, looks like another scud bomb right there. And there's some, that's a sprinkler. Never mind. Sprinklers are terrible, aren't they? They are. And we are watching it. We've got a severe thunderstorm warning now issued for our area. Right now. This area right now under a severe thunderstorm warning. We've had that potential for most of the day today. We're right in the whale's mouth of this storm now. And the easterlies are still very strong going into it. And it's moving in quite rapidly right now. Incredible how fast this thing intensified over the last little bit. Definite hail core right there as the storm continues to progress its way in. As this thing, look at the gravity waves right back in here too. Incredible. So we've got the gravity waves. A severe thunderstorm warning for Milo as this storm continues to get closer and closer and closer to the county of Newell. They call the ping pong ball size hail, as well as heavy rains and fairly strong winds. Already got those easterly winds have really started to kick up here, and things are about to just get even more wild.
Pretty much an incredible shelf cloud. I have to run out and check it out myself. On Sunday, it was pretty phenomenal and lots of very close range lightning strikes. So I had to stay in the car because it was really close range strikes on Sunday. So then that was that supercell that came through. And I think areas just to our south got toonie size hail. Yeah, about toonie size hail on Sunday. We just had a big blast of rain and a lot of lightning. So that was about it with that storm. And then Monday came along and the threat was a little bit further towards the south. So this supercell developed in Pincher Creek. Actually, I think it developed in the BC side of the border there in the Elk Valley. And it moved over through Pincher Creek. And then it really intensified once it reached Pincher Creek there. And it developed quite a hail storm. It went through Pincher Creek and like the whole town was basically white. So they had to bring snow plows out in Pincher Creek, and then the storm itself went down to Cardston afterwards, so it took a little beeline to the south and then went through Cardston, and they had 46 millimeters of precipitation in 1 hour, so that caused flooding, and hail was all over the road, so they had to bring snow plows out, and a lot of crops were basically lost in the Cardston area from that storm, so terrible situation for farmers, at least, and then that supercell went down the international border last Monday. And then Tuesday's storm. I don't think they did too much on Tuesday. There was a couple severe storms and then yesterday's storms. Yeah, yesterday, Wednesday, the 8th. So we were predicting a potential for dangerous thunderstorms to occur across the. Tuesday storms. Now I remember. So many storms here. Okay, so we had a supercell back over here just to my north, and that went tornado warned on Tuesday. And that was just to the north of the Red Deer River. And this storm was capable of producing golf ball size hail and had a fairly low rotation on it. So we were watching, I had a couple storm chaser friends on that storm and we were watching it very closely, see if it would produce, and it didn't. But it had very low rotation, but produced golf ball size hail. And then it crossed over the Red Deer River, went through Buffalo, little community, about 10 people who live there. And then it went due to the south towards Hilda and Schuyler and then into Saskatchewan afterwards, producing quite a bit of hail. And there was some damage to crops then on Tuesday. And now yesterday's storms, kind of the same deal. But yesterday was kind of a weirdish kind of day. We had Cape Valley's at least 2,000 joules per kilogram. It had enough bulk shear, so it was great environment for supercells to develop yesterday. And the cells kind of took their time trying to get going yesterday. So that's okay. We had a storm develop, where was that? Yeah, right near Tilly here. And it sat there for an hour and a half, dumping rain and hail over the Tide Lake area. And then it finally started moving very slowly, but it didn't really materialize. And then earlier we had another supercell that produced tennis ball size hail. In the same area that produced a golf ball size hail the other day. And then after that, we had that storm, next storm over here developed over Bazzano. This one just sat in Bazzano for 2 hours and it just dumped hail, dumped rain. And most of the storms were just sitting there for 2 hours. And then that little storm that came out of the Elk Valley again, that one was actually moving. And then that really started to get the energy going, get the storms firing up. And then we had a massive line of supercells, kind of a bow echo, kind of move through southern parts of Alberta, producing some very strong winds. We had a lot of hail reports out of those storms as well.
Hopefully I don't choke on popcorn here.
Brownie Hoke here. Severe thunderstorm watches have been issued across much of southern portions of Alberta, including this area, as we have a lot of moisture available right now for storms to fire up. We could be dealing with some discrete supercells firing up off of dry line today. And, well, where these storms are going to go, we're kind of still uncertain with that right now. But somebody's going to get hit, and they're going to get hit pretty good today. We could be dealing with damaging winds, gusts of 110 kilometers an hour, very large hail up to the size of golf balls, torrential rain leading to flash flooding with 50 to 75 millimeters of rain, likely in some locations, as well as we can't rule out an isolated tornado today with these supercells that are going to be marching their way across southern parts of Alberta this afternoon and through the overnight hours of tonight. So it is going to be a very active day today, so make sure you have a way to pay attention to watches and warnings in your area. The party is on right here. That's where the party is going to be at tonight, guys. Oh, it's going to be fun. It is. Best party ever. Tell all your friends.
And then the lightning intensified. Like, holy smokes. Like, I had to put sunglasses on to view the lightning. It was so intense out here last night. And it was just frequent, very frequent, nonstop lightning. I was actually in the bear's cage of the storm. That's probably the most dangerous part of the storm. But there was no tornado threat, so that was a good thing. And the hail kind of weakened a bit. So pretty phenomenal stuff there. And then we had the strong winds pick up, had the lightning, and then the lightning just went on from 10:30 to 1 o'clock in the morning. And I can't believe I'm still up right now, because I had to get up at 2 hours later for a radio show. So I made it, I think. And then now we got another storm that developed back over here that's moving. So we might get some thunder in the next hour. Maybe we'll see, but it's fairly weak. So
there's been tornado warnings.
We might get thunder through the show.
Tornado warnings in Sask today, you were saying?
Yeah, we had tornado warning near Minto, Saskatchewan today. We had a very low wall cloud. It looked like it was trying to produce one, but it failed to succeed on that one. So that was the only warning of concern today. And it was perfect timing. I was just about ready to just sit back and take the day in for a little bit. And all of a sudden my phone blares off, tornado warning. Oh, here we go again. But that only lasted for 20 minutes. So we were good.
Today in BC, it's for people listening on the radio, it's July 8th that we record this. We've had a lot of stationary thunderstorms, probably the most thunderstorms that are severe at one time I've ever seen in British Columbia. I think there was four or five that were active cells that were severe status at one time. I've seen maybe that throughout a day storms go through like that. But and a lot of these have been coming once again out of the pyrocumulonimbus clouds that have been forming near Sparks Lake and then north of Lillooet as well. Fire! Plus a severe storm not related to such activity that's formed down in the Manning area. It sat there all day just flashing like crazy, and now it's kind of taken a beeline through. And where did I last see it was at right now? Cody's been updating us in Tulamine, and it seems to a lot of lightning in Tulamine right now, and wide rotation even on that storm. So just very, very aggressive thunderstorm behavior today. And really for the last week, it's been much of that sort of story. And going into the weekend as well, I'm seeing, you know, chance here in Wells and the Caribou. I think that a lot of that's going to be moving north, sort of settling in where thunderstorms like to traditionally settle in BC, which is here in the Caribou. What do you think we could expect of the weekend? I'm expecting to see some nighttime shows. Saturday could possibly be 24 hours of storm potential here in Wells. I mean, by the way the Cape values look, talk to us, Brandon.
Yeah, we're going to continue to see kind of an unstable air mass as the next shortwave moves in for the weekend in British Columbia there. So we will be dealing with, as you mentioned, widespread thunderstorms, especially starting tomorrow and then carrying on to the weekend. And we're kind of cranking up the heat in the eastern prairies here, or across the prairies. So we're going to see our temperatures soar while you get that cold front go through. So that's going to be that's going to spell some trouble. So we will see some severe weather again on Saturday in British Columbia. And then we'll see those storms extend into central northern parts of Alberta late in the day on Saturday from Edmonton areas, Red Deer areas, and points to the north as we crank up the heat here in the south with temperatures pushing near 37 degrees again for like the, I'd say the fourth, fifth time this summer. So It's going to get hot just for one day, though, because that same cold front is going to come through here again on Sunday. And what does that mean? More severe weather for me again.
Exciting.
And then we cool down a little bit for next week afterwards.
So in layman's term, you use the term shortwave. Explain to people what you mean, because we have a very interesting setup in BC today at this hour where the upper level looks just crazy. It's spinning bizarrely. Explain to everybody what we've been seeing.
Yeah, so we basically have a negative tilt trough, shortwave trough, that's sitting right over British Columbia right now. And that means it's a trough of low pressure. So you get a troughing in the jet stream that's allowing for the instability to build, also allowing for all the multiple rounds of thunderstorms. So that's why we've had multiple thunderstorms today that actually produced some pretty heavy rain, kind of like the same scenario that we had here in Alberta yesterday with very slow moving thunderstorms, not moving, nothing there to push them along. And that's the same deal that we're dealing with in British Columbia today, where these things are just sitting in one spot. Some areas getting dumped on, others are getting nothing at all. So,
yeah, and the lightning reaching outside of that rain area. So we have lots to talk about still on this, but we do need to get to our panel of meteorologists. And before we talk to Ryan Blomfield's back, and of course, Joe Stover is back from his vacation up in Churchill, Manitoba. So we do want to talk to you boys next, but just want to check in quick before we and say hi to Liz Tui Weiss. And generally what we do is we talk to our guests of honor at this moment and just say, hey, welcome to the show, Liz, and feel free to jump in anytime and explain to everybody what you're doing here in Wells and how it relates to the weather.
Fire everything!
Yeah, just to say thanks for having me. Yeah, I got here to Wells last week and I'm, like you said, an art professor and I'm an artist. I've been working on a series of work about wildfires for the last 3 years. So I was just in Vernon last month and I was working on some paintings and sculptures about the Mount Christie wildfire, which was one of the biggest wildfires in the Okanagan last summer. So I went to Penticton and visited that site last month just to see, you know, the plants that are growing back and check out that landscape. Yeah, and as for being in Wells, like maybe it's perfect timing, you know, being around with all this crazy weather. And I saw that there's a wildfire 20 kilometers south of us right now. So, and the smoke came in today. So there's no shortage of inspiration.
West Fraser has been actioning that, I hear. They were shipping equipment machines out last night.
Fire! They're on it.
Yeah, so not necessarily being responded to by BC Wildfire, but But yes, it was very smoky through much of the day here, and it's not so much now. Talk to us about your paintings and your work, just and we'll come back to you and go a little more in depth. But and tell the listeners how they can find your work online too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the other projects I've done in the last while about wildfires was last year. I made a billboard, so it was a watercolor painting of a wildfire with a text on top that says "Come back soon." So I'm interested in my art, like exploring ideas about like the forestry economy and the tourist economy and climate change and sort of like all these overlaps that kind of happen in wildfires. So yeah, that's a project. If people were living between Vernon and Kamloops, you would have seen my billboard up in the wintertime for 6 months on Highway 97. So yeah, and if you're interested in finding my work, you can Google my name, Liz Tui Weiss. TOOHEY-WIESE. I apologize, it's a very long name.
I did forget to mention to everybody too, you are listening to the Meteorological Report on CKUW 95.9 FM and CFUR 88.7 FM. That's in Winnipeg. And the other one is in Prince George. You hear us in Prince George Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. and Tuesday replays at 4 p.m. CKUW plays us at noon local time every Monday. So I do have to say that three times an hour because it's very important. So we will come back to you, Liz. But while we're talking about CKUW 95.9 FM, we better switch to our brother over in Churchill, Manitoba, who runs his own radio show on CKUW, Joe Stover. You were down on vacation in lower Manitoba, and you saw absolutely nothing exciting for weather whatsoever.
Nothing. I was extremely disappointed. Now, number one, because I do like to see some extreme weather, and in northern Manitoba, you don't see it that often.
Oh, it's never extreme up there.
Not too extreme. In the winter, it's a little extreme, but not so much in the summertime. But the reason number two that I was really annoyed with the weather was we got the eastern edge of the heat dome. And obviously everybody in BC and Alberta got it, and in Saskatchewan too, got it far worse than Manitoba did. My threshold for comfort is around 20. So you can imagine how not pleasant, 35, 36, 37 was for me. And that,
I feel the same.
So I can't even imagine how folks out in BC felt. 'Cause I looked at some of those temperatures and, I've used the term ungodly before and I'll use it again, but here in Churchill, it's actually, they're calling for a possibility of some thunderstorms tonight, which would be kind of nice because I haven't seen any this year yet, not even a speck of lightning or a rumble of thunder at all. And here it is July the 8th. So hoping to see that soon. Manitoba is south of us. There's heat warnings, 400 kilometers away in Thompson. They're under a heat warning. Pretty much the entire the western side of the province, the northwestern province is under a heat warning, and the eastern side of the province is under air quality warning because of the fires that are burning on the east side of Lake Winnipeg. So it looks like Churchill is being spared the heat, the smoke. Now we just need a little bit of rain and some thunder and lightning to kind of just liven our Churchill summer up. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Even when you weren't there, how hot did it get up in Churchill during that heat wave?
Well, it was a 1 day heat wave for us here in Churchill, and that was smack dab on Canada Day, and I believe it got up to about 36. I don't have the exact temperature in front of me, but I know it was somewhere around there, and it definitely broke a record for that day. And it's the hottest day that we've had in Churchill in a long time, but it was definitely tempered with the very next day. It got up to about +2, and there was an actual wind chill of -1 on July 2nd. So it was, one of those crazy couple of days, but that's northern Manitoba for you. And with climate change, the entire country is seeing just some unpredictable stuff. You used to be able to set your watch to the weather. You really could. And I'm only 39, and I remember when you could set your watch to the weather. You can't do that anymore. So it's weather is just so exciting, and you just never know what's going to pop up. They're talking about thunderstorms tonight, maybe tomorrow, in Monday coming up on Churchill. If you're listening on CKUW, that's today. They're calling for it to be 26 in Churchill with thunderstorms all early morning and right up until lunch. So if that's the case, that would be great for Churchill. I, however, will be in Winnipeg again. I'm taking my dog down to my folks on Saturday, and I'm back in Churchill on Wednesday. So just in time to record next week's show. So maybe I'll get lucky to see some weather in Winnipeg, but it looks like there's actually going to be some exciting weather in Churchill while I'm gone. So par for the course.
Your experience of the heat wave, of course, is much like mine. Here in Barkerville, the all-time high, and this is where BC's oldest weather station is, the all-time high was 35.5. It was set in 1941, and we smashed that day after day after day during the heat wave. I haven't checked the Barkerville heat weather station yet, but I don't think we got much above 38 during the whole heat wave. But this is a place where we literally have 7 months of winter, and March and April, we had the most snow in all of Canada. And to put that into perspective, too, in February, we were about minus 37 at one point at nighttime low. And to hit plus 38 or whatever, look at that swing of temperatures. It's just absolutely insane. Frankie, there is a possibility of a new heat dome forming down in Arizona. You talk to people in Arizona often. Can you tell us about the next heat wave?
That means it's going to bring really, really hot temperatures in Phoenix, Arizona, where Gary and Dino is. In Las Vegas and all these places are going to bring extremely hot temperatures, and those places in Los Angeles and San Francisco, San Jose, and all these places, and it's going to bring really hot temperatures in Wyoming and all these places. Then it's going to expand interior British Columbia once again for a limited time. It's about southeastern British Columbia. It's going to reach extremely hot temperatures in Nevada, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Denver, Colorado, Colorado Springs, Casper, Cheyenne, and all these places in western Montana. And Idaho is going to bring extremely hot temperatures this Saturday and Sunday coming up. The heat dome is going to get to bring extremely hot temperatures in greater Los Angeles, California, cooler in the beaches. It's going to bring extremely hot temperatures San Francisco, Sacramento, and all these places, Fresno, California, Oakland, San Jose, and all these places. It's going to bring really hot temperatures all the way up to Prince George, British Columbia, not as hot as last time.
So there you go. And we are.
And it got hot weather going all the way up to Yukon, Whitehorse, maybe even up to northeastern coast of Russia.
So we're early in the summer still, quite early in the summer. We're only a couple weeks in. And the kind of weather that we're expecting to see in summertime in the West is still yet to happen. And that's how unlikely this heat dome was. The last meteorologist we haven't talked to yet is Ryan Blomfield. You're over there in Alberta. Tell us about your week. Looks like you got some sun on your head there, friend. And talk to us. We haven't really talked to you since there's been some victories in the mountains, not coal.
Well, I wouldn't call them that yet. But yeah, sure. I got a little bit of sun, didn't I?
Oh, totally,
way too much sun. No, I can't get enough of it. I take, like, 10,000 IUs of vitamin D all winter long. I'll take as much as I can get during the summer. I don't know about victories. Yes, the federal government stepped in on Grassy Mountain and Banga, the Australian
coal company. And I got advice from Monica Bouye. They say, take vitamin D. That's an advice from Monica.
That's great advice. Yeah, I'm all about the vitamin D, both natural and supplemental. Anyways, yeah, it's far from over, Joey. This is far from over. But you know what? They're starting to win the PR battle, right? Grassy Mountain is looking like it's a done deal as far as the Fed stepping in. But now we've got Banga suing the Alberta government, probably because they were promised they could have it, and now they can't. But nevertheless, can we talk about the weather?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no end to how much money Jason Kenney is flushing down the toilet in your province.
Oh, man.
End to 15 years of fiscal irresponsibility.
Fistfuls of decommissioned $2 bills, I believe. Anyways, no, I don't know. We're far from done, and Jason Kenney is far from getting reelected. So, we still stand a good chance. Hey, by the way, first of all, sorry, I haven't been around in the last couple of weeks. It's been kind of trying times, but our website is now live. I think last time I was on, I was like, we're working on the website. We're trying. Waternotcoal.ca is live. And we've got a bunch of events coming up, including a big comedy event live. Now that Jason Kenney says it's safe to go outside, we're doing an event at the Longview, the Twin Cities Saloon, which is a legendary venue in Longview, Alberta.
Yeah.
And if you're from Alberta, you probably know the name Jeb Fink, even though he's American and from California. He's lived here for a long time. He used to be on the A Channel in the mornings. Now he's got a great food business at the Calgary Farmers Market. He makes some great pasta sauce and stuff like that. He's our headliner a week from tonight. In fact, almost exactly 7:30 p.m. Thursday night in Longview. We've got Jeb Fink. We've got Rodney Norman, who did our first one. If you don't know Rodney, you got to find him. He's just a brilliant gem of a human being. And then we finally locked our opener. A dude named Lucas Ocampo is going to open the show. Tickets are going pretty quick, but you can get them at waternotcoal.ca. You can also get cool stuff like this decal, which is removable, right? So if you've got some aversion to putting stickers on your car, chill out. It peels off. You can put it from window to window. This is the little one. We've got big ones too. And of course, last time I showed you the t-shirts, Rocky Mountains are not for sale. Unless you got a buck for a metric ton of coal, and then no problem. So all of the money, by the way, all of the money that we're raising is not going in my pocket at all. It's actually going right now. We're donating to a water study, which is being held by the Pekisko Group and the Livingston Landowners Group. Actually, it was a water study like that. That got the feds to step in on Grassy Mountain. But we need to do more because Grassy Mountain's just one mine, and they're talking about a lot of mines right in that same area. and all up and down the eastern slopes. So we've got a big fight on our hands. When you donate at waternotcoal.ca, that money goes to the water study. It also goes to our talent. So we've got comedians on Thursday. August 8th, we've got a bunch of kick-ass bands. Also at the Twin Cities in Longview, Felix and the Hurricanes. We've got a brain that can't remember anything at all right now. And a number of other great artists playing. Oh, shoot. Christine's going to kill me. She's going to kill me. Peter and the Wolves, the Sadler Brown Band, Ben Rose. We got a bunch of shows coming up this summer. Sylvan Lake, we're working on something for Pincher Creek. And I want to do something here in Claire's home at the Bell. Joey, do you know the Bell Hotel, the Claire's Home Inn?
Yes, I do.
Did you ever play there?
I never played there, though. Because I always play the
auditorium. What an amazing room.
So you don't overplay a region, right? So if I'm playing the auditorium every time I'm in Alberta, I'm not going to play 20 minutes down the road.
What?
Whatever did come of that, I forgot that I made you a comedy video. Is that up on your website?
It is not, but it's about to be. I just got Rodney Norman's permission to post the video of the whole show. So it's coming soon. In fact, I'm going to put up a bunch of teasers this week. Tease the show next week on Thursday. So the reactions were great, but we're going to post it and actually take donations, and then we'll have to pay you a bunch of money for the rights and that kind of stuff. And then you can buy some metallurgical coal with it, and you can sell it to China, and you can make at least $1,000 and retire.
I just want the first black t-shirt you guys make.
The black t-shirts, you're going to love it. I've got a shirt for you. We have a limited black t-shirt coming out for the Longview event next week. It's actually got a bit of a memorial to the Indigenous children that were, shamelessly murdered by the Catholic Church and the Canadian government. But that I'll digress there. They're great shirts. And you know what? I'll send you one, man.
That'd be awesome, because I love black shirts because I'm punk rock.
I love black shirts because they make my man boobies smaller.
You're listening to the Meteorological Report on CFUR 88.7 FM Prince George and CKUW 95.9 FM. Now tell me, Brandon Houck, if Liz Tui Weiss wanted to go and start painting some wildfires in British Columbia, where do you think we might want to send her right now?
Fire! Fire!
The Sparks fire, maybe? That's a big fire, isn't it?
Fire!
There's a lot of them, yeah. A lot of fires.
Fire!
Has it crossed your mind to go and watch a fire from a distance and paint it?
I did last year. So I went down to the Mount Christie fire in Penticton. And, well, I sat on the far side of Skaha Lake and watched it. But I was sitting on the beach there and was like, watching these trees candling from across the lake. It was like, oh my God, it's so cool. And then there was like helicopters, dropping water directly on the candling tree. I was like, wow. And that's so cool too. Like I felt like I needed like a big foam finger, like number one fire fan, but I was cheering for both sides.
Fire behavior in BC. How many fires are going on right now?
I am Locutus of Borg. Resistance is futile.
Does anybody know?
Mr. Worf. Fire.
I think it was around 600 or 700 when I looked at the dashboard app.
801 to date, yeah. This year, and 163 this week. Okay.
163 this week. Here we go. So talk to us about
204 active fires right now as of July 8th.
That are known about,
you're right.
Because what's happened is we've had so much lightning activity over the last, 2 weeks that you have all these stumps smoldering all over the place that no one really knows about. And eventually the sun gets on them, or they just get in contact with the right thing and they finally have a flare up. And who knows how many hot spots are out there in British Columbia right now.
Well, I've got a question for you, Joey. I know in Alberta, they have a lot of these lookout towers. Do they have the same sort of thing in BC?
Not really, and it's not all that necessary. Liz, you were talking about this yesterday, lookout towers. Talk to us about lookout towers in BC.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, they're all decommissioned. But Alberta, they still have fire lookouts. I have a friend who, has been going the last couple summers. Yeah, and I follow some of the Facebook pages about BC wildfire, and people are like, oh, we should get people back in the lookouts. Man the lookouts again. But in chatting with people at BC Wildfire, I was talking to someone who works there, it was like, yeah, we get emails like 10 times a day from companies that are trying to sell us like high-tech LIDAR and drones and all these sorts of things, satellite technology, so we can like, you know, be checking on wildfires in that way. And the person I talked to at BC Wildfire was like, it doesn't matter. Like, people call them in. Like, we just have the like star 5555. He's like, people call wildfires in really quick. Like, people just see them, they see smoke, and then we, you know, do a flyover and we find them. So I don't know if it's like maybe because of cell phones now, people can call them in. That's like doing the job of kind of lookouts. And yeah, it seems like once there's, all this technology to like see where lightning is striking, they can just do a flyover, check and see if there's any smoke coming up. Yeah.
I've been around so many thunderstorms in BC where a helicopter or a plane is tailing it and keeping close eye on what's going on. Or we've had lightning strikes here in Wells that started fires. We went looking for them. Planes and helicopters went looking for them every time. Up until last year, the rain had put them out. The ones last year managed to persist, but were stomped by initial attack the next day. But so, yeah, and also in Alberta, if you can imagine too, where you have these lookout towers, they're sitting along the edge of the Rocky Mountains looking eastward generally, and you're able to see a long ways out to the plane. So there's some real effectiveness along some of that positioning of a fire tower. Whereas, I mean, here in BC, in this area, you could pick any hilltop or any mountain nearby, and that's only going to give you so much range of visibility for the countryside around you, right?
Yeah, I never even thought of that. That's a really great point.
You can't really see what's on the other side of the other mountains right over there necessarily. So,
Andrew Neville says, the mountains block the effing view.
Yep. I'm a prairie boy born and raised. Prairie boy born and raised. I don't live in the mountains because they block the view.
Hey, everybody, guess what? I showed you something. Fred the Bear. Hi, Frankie. Hey, Fred. I'm doing great so far. The fires are burning along the west coast of Canada and western Canada. Burning so much fires. Bear, get your helicopters ready to put the water out, put the fire out. Same with Siberia and remote communities in Siberia. It's really hot in British Columbia lately since it was devastating heat wave that destroyed life in British Columbia in earlier this month in July. It's so hot there. It's desert-like heat, not a normal heat. This is a desert-like heat wave. I'm Fred the Bear. I better get going. I'll see you soon. Bye for now.
Right on, Fred the Bear.
Yeah, wait, Fred.
Love you, Fred.
Yes. What are the bears going to do, Fred? We haven't heard what the bears are going to do. When Fred comes back, Frankie.
When he comes back. I better hide under the cave. We're throwing a fire.
Jump in the water.
I will jump in the water.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you for that update, Fred the Bear. No one thinks about what the animals are doing when these things happen. What does happen to the animals, Liz, during wildfire fires in BC?
I don't know. You have to talk to a biologist.
Well, you had a piece of art you were working on yesterday where there was a horse with a phone number on it in the piece.
Yeah. Again, I've been just like joining all these like interior Facebook groups. And someone had posted about like, you know, if you have an evacuation and you can't bring your livestock with you, you know, with horses, you know, spray paint your phone number on the side of the horse and you're going to just let them go and hope for the best. And the image of it, I did a painting of this horse that the picture I had seen. And I just thought it was this like very poetic image of like a letting go or people kind of, it's like almost like a form of giving up. Like I mean it in like almost like a very metaphorical way. Like I've been really reflecting this last while just like being up here of being like, oh man, like city slickers have like no idea like what's going on in like wildfire season in BC. And I'm from Vancouver and like, you know, I complain about the smoke like ruining my beach day when I'm in Vancouver, but like people's houses, like, yeah, I am never afraid my house is going to burn down, right? What's that?
The horses are better off running free at this point than they are locked up into a pen. Everyone's just got to run and you're on your own horse. I remember in 2018 and 2017, wild horses all burnt up in the Chilcotin, right? And they were just surrounded in every direction by these fires that joined up. What advice would you give Fred the Bear?
I think Fred the Bear knows what to do.
Hey, I better drink lots of water. I better stay in the water or go in the cave when there's a lot of fires. I better hide in the water since the fires are really dangerous. I know how to swim. I'm Fred the Bear.
I love Fred the Bear.
I love Fred the Bear.
Oh, man. Fred the Bear's got to be a regular from this day forward, right? Or did I miss some Fred the Bear before?
He shows up every once in a while. It's been a while since we've seen Fred the Bear.
Thank you.
He's a very good bear. There was a time where I was wearing stormtrooper helmets. We were doing all kinds of ridiculous things on here.
Man, well, I've got to watch the archives then.
Yeah, well, it's all there on Joey Only Caribou Weather Dude YouTube. I've had a small boost, and if you recall, last month I had 530 subscribers on my YouTube. I'm up to 690-something now. So everyone keep subscribing, because I really want to get to 1,000 so that somebody will give me some kind of money sometime for doing something.
310 subscribers to glory.
310 to glory. And I mean, really,
make that big Spotify money.
Well, something, right? This is what I want to do. I mean, it'll be a long time before I'm as famous as Frankie McDonald. You're at 265,000 subscribers and counting still, right, Frank?
266,000 subscribers.
Ah, he's up to 266,000.
A lot of people subscribed to people to me on YouTube a long time ago. They all left because of the ads.
YouTube has
a lot of rules now. So many people left YouTube because too many commercials, too many rules for YouTube. Because the ads have taken over, remove the private messaging on YouTube. Number one, remove the private messaging. Number two, got rid of video responses. Number three, got rid of the old features from the past that don't exist anymore. They had ads, and YouTube has changed over the years.
YouTube sold out, man.
Word up.
So what you're telling me is I want to sell out too.
Well, let's help Joey Only sell out, people. Only 310 more subscribers to go.
I mean, I've been trying to sell out for a long time while denying it. Well, the truth is, I just can't control the kind of person I am. You know, if I could enough to have sold out, I probably would have. No, that's not true. I really am cynical and lucky to have
not to your detriment, though, Joey. You're not cynical to your detriment, I must say.
Lucky to have two radio stations playing me. How many radio stations are playing you nowadays, Brandon Houck, including our two?
Okay, there's one. I was on three today, all day long, from six till six at every hour. Then I was on another one today as well in Kelowna, kind of a guest jumping on, telling them there's going to be storms today. And then sometimes I jump on in Winnipeg over there, and I jump on in PEI and sometimes Lethbridge. And the one week I was on three stations at the same time on the rock show, but
so three different phones.
Yeah, pretty much
at the same time.
I record everything right here, so
radio with man Brandon Houck, he's the real deal, no doubt about that. Liz Tui Weiss, tell everybody about where you're taking your art, what you're going to do with it. This is just informal conversation. Anybody who wants to talk now can talk.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be here in Wells for the month. It seems like I'm going to do an open studio the last week of July, just to sort of, I've been working at the school here, just got a studio set up there, and we'll have a little informal artist talk with some snacks and drinks. So if you're in Wells, I think the very last Thursday of the month is looking like when it's going to happen. Yeah, what else? Last year, I worked on a book project about wildfires. So I collaborated with my friend, another artist, Amory Abbott, who's an illustrator. And we did a call for submissions for our books. So we invited people in any sort of printable art form. So we had photographers and poets and writers and artists submit to our book on the topic of wildfires. So we had over 40 contributors from as far away as South Africa and Europe submit to our book project. And so, we self-published a small run of books, art books about wildfire. And we're going to do it again next summer. So if you're interested in submitting to the book, you can follow our Instagram account, which is Fire Season, all one word, Fire Season, on Instagram. And you can find us on there. And we have a couple posts that are about the book project, some little examples from the book. So that'll be next year, but I'm thinking about what I'm going to submit for the book already and talking to other people about it and seeing if they want to submit to the project. So keep it in mind.
Well, it's good to have stuff from all over the world like that, because then when American readers get their hands in it, if they read, they'll be like, whoa, there's like fires in other parts of the world too.
Yeah, that's right. I'm hoping... I want someone from Australia to contribute to the next book. So if you know any Australians that are into fire, that seems like that would be my goal for next time, because they've got lots of fire there and they've been dealing with it, I think, in better ways than Canada has for a lot longer. They're kind of on it. Am I telling you the wrong thing?
I don't know. It says user unknown and then on a break. Are you on a break from Instagram, but you're plugging
fire,
it?
Fire season book, all one word.
Fire season book. Okay, got it.
Can you edit that, Joey? I'm sorry, I said the wrong thing.
No, it doesn't matter.
It'll be more memorable if it just goes as it was.
That's true. And see, the reason why
people will be like, yeah, got it.
Getting Australians to contribute writing to your book than you would, say, having them talk on a radio show. Like, what did he say? So at least when you get them to write it down,
I
believe it's pronounced fire. Fire.
They don't write the C word. Fire.
That's right.
Fire, Max. like when they say it.
That's more of a limey thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
You just gave me the best idea. Hey, I don't want to plug too much more crap. I don't want to be that douchebag, but Joey, I got to ask you a question. So I'm trying to launch this podcast. I think I mentioned it before. It's the mock radio station, Cole FM.
Right.
And I'm hitting a real a hard time with bigger artists who are on major record labels and getting permission to, you know, play their music, as you can well imagine, right?
I'm used to this.
And even, you know, somebody like Corb Lund, you end up. Yeah, okay, but you end up talking to the, you know, can you talk to the publisher and the guy who wrote the song and blah, blah, blah. The artists don't own their music. So I've decided on a whole new direction because I got to launch this thing. It's a video cast. I've got all this footage of the Eastern Slopes and the foothills and the Porcupine Hills and all this stuff. I'd like to play one of your tunes. Can I get your permission or do I have to talk to some record label dude?
Yeah, let me talk to my publisher. Actually, I do have a publisher. Steve Thompson. Steve Thompson has no say plays my songs. But also, you should play the Meteorological Report on your Cole FM once in a while.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then just real quick, and then I'll shut up. I'll just shut up and I'll never talk about my Cole stuff again. But this is also a broader call because this is broadcast in Manitoba and BC. Especially in Manitoba, guys, like BC, screw BC, you got your own water problems and the water runs the other direction. But the problem here is that, you know, this is an issue that affects Alberta's water, Saskatchewan's water, Manitoba's water. This is a call to Canadian musicians who want and can give me permission to play a relevant or just a song.
Frankie is just sending you the link to his dad's music.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Anyway, get in touch, ryblobfield@gmail.com, or just go to water.cole.ca and send us an email. And I got to get this podcast going soon because I'm starting to look like a fool.
One thing we haven't talked about so far this show is next week's weather for Winnipeg area, Manitoba, Brandon. I didn't get to that with you today. We had so much to talk about.
Basically, they've been pretty quiet over in Winnipeg last week or so. Yeah, I haven't had much to say about Winnipeg, but next week we'll crank up the heat for Manitoba, and then we'll see that potential for thunderstorms possibly Tuesday, Wednesday. So that'll hopefully be the next chance to get some active weather in Winnipeg.
Hope so, Brandon. I'm going to be there from Saturday until Wednesday morning, so I'm
once
very
again,
much
at
looking
the end
forward
of next
to
month.
Some...
Hurricane season kicks up the maximum gear in the end of August and early September, and sometime in second half of August, leaves change colors around August 15th up in Inuvik, Northwest Territories, Dawson, Yukon, Whitehorse, and all these places, Alaska, and parts of Northwest Territories like Fort McPherson and in Dempster Highway, Klondike Highway, Alaska Highway. The leaves change colors next month. The fall starts up in Yukon in August.
One thing Liz and I, it starts here at the end of August too in Wells at this elevation. One thing Liz and I were talking about yesterday is the fact that leaves have been falling off the trees and needles falling off the trees everywhere in BC. Maybe not everywhere, but in a lot of places because of the heat.
Yeah, it's not great. The trees are stressed is what I've come to understand from friends.
Sometime in the second half of August, Prince George and all these places in northern British Columbia, like up around Alaska Highway, northwest of Fort Nelson, they had a snowstorm in sometime in August.
That does happen once in a while here.
That we got 38 degrees here in Claire's home. It's been humid as AF, I guess, as the kids say. But talking about trees suffering, I've been trying so hard. My landlord planted two of these little baby pear trees in the front yard because it's like a new yard. Look at it. Look at it. Look how sad. I don't think it's going to make it. It's a
I never thought pear it was tree, such a bad little tree. Tree.
Yeah, it's but it's going to die. So say goodbye.
Its name is Fred the Pear Tree.
And I'll shake it and talk. Hold on. No.
That'd be awesome. I want more Fred reports Fred. Of trees and
Bear
things
the
like
the pear tree. It's a children's book.
No one ever asks the trees what they think of the weather. The trees are stressed. Okay, that's what you're
yes,
doing to
are.
People. You're stressing the trees out, man.
Trees oh, tell us.
Warming and
the
stuff.
Trees tell us in their own way.
By drooping and looking sad.
And losing all the needle. It's like your hair falling out prematurely. Like, what are the humans doing?
That's what kind of a cheap shot.
What happened?
I wasn't looking at Ryan and Frankie when I said it, but they did happen to both be at the bottom of my screen when I looked down. We are coming to the end of the show.
Global warming, right? Right,
Fred? It's evident. Your head is a scientific measuring. It's an instrument for measuring
levels.
It's also a UNESCO World Heritage Site, but that's a whole other story.
Hey, Joey, where's Gabriel and any others?
Gabriel Berardo has been gone for a week or two. I believe he's working on trying to get himself a placement in Weather Network, too. And who knows what we'll hear from Gabriel Berardo when he comes back to Rappin' Weatherman, all these guests and more on the Meteorological Report here on CFR.
Ronnie
Greg, I think he's back to work in the downtown east side. So who knows what his week's like. Maybe he's on a night shift or something and just doesn't have time. Maybe he's on shift right now and doesn't have time to check in with us. But Ronnie Greg, he's one of my great old friends. I just love the guy to death. And he's a hero. He's a warrior. He's saved a lot of people's lives, man. So it's always really lucky to have him on this show, get him talking. Meteorological Report on CFUR 88.7 FM, Prince George. That's www.cfur.ca. On CKUW 88 or 95.9 FM. 95.9 FM Winnipeg. I got that right, Joe. What's on your radio show this week, Joe? Next week, too.
Well, this week, it's going to be we're going to shout out, unfortunately, to the Tampa Bay Lightning for winning their championship. So I'm going to play some Tampa Bay songs, I'm sure. It's kind
Did
of by
see
the seat
video
of my
I
pants.
Put up today of Kucherov on my YouTube?
Was that the shirtless interview?
Yeah, check my YouTube out. I did something with it. It's funny.
I will. Absolutely. So, yeah, so it's just a mixed bag of whatever on the How Do You Do review. You just never know what you're going to get. So if I'll do my shameless plug, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg every Friday from 6 until 7 p.m. CHMR 93.5 FM in St. John's, Newfoundland on Mondays at 8 p.m. local till 9 p.m. local, and also available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts, the How Do You Do review. Thanks for that, Joey.
And my link tree is Frankie McDonald.
Link tree. That's right. Frankie McDonald, co-host of the show. Thank you, meteorologists, for coming on tonight. That's Ryan Blomfield down in Claire's home. Brandon Houck and our star weatherman over in Brooks, Alberta. Joe Stover up in Churchill, Manitoba. And special guest tonight, Liz Tui-Weiss. You're all stars. Thanks for coming on the show. And hey, everybody, stay safe out there. Fire season is just starting. I don't want to be a downer, but that's the reality. If you see these storms that are coming, starting fires, be careful. I mean, in some of these smoky conditions, you can't even tell where new fire starts are. It's scary times in British Columbia, but hopefully we can keep laughing. And that's what we do at the meteorology team here is laugh at the weather. See you all next week, everybody. Thanks so much for coming on the show, and bye for now.
Yes, Hello. Best of luck to you. I'm Frankie Don't. You're listening to Comedier. Meteorological Report with Joey Only.
Resistance is futile.
Mr. Worf. Fire.
Well, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, Frankie's